Chapter 31. The Third Task.
"Dumbledore reckons you know who's getting stronger again as well," Ron whispered.
Everything Harry had seen in the Pensieve, nearly everything Dumbledore had told and shown him afterwards, he had now shared with Ron and Hermione, and, of course, with Sirius, to whom Harry had sent an owl the moment he had left Dumbledore's office. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat up late in the common room once again that night, talking it all over, until Harry's mind was reeling, until he understood what Dumbledore had meant about a head becoming so full of thoughts that it would have been a relief to siphon them off. Ron stared into the common room fire. Harry thought he saw Ron shiver slightly, even though the evening was warm.
"And he trusts Snape," Ron said. "He really trusts Snape, even though he knows he was a Death Eater."
"Yes," said Harry. Hermione had not spoken for 10 minutes. She was sitting with her forehead in her hands, staring at her knees. Harry thought she, too, looked as though she could have done with a Pensieve.
"Rita Skeeter," she muttered finally. "How can you be worrying about her now?" said Ron in disbelief. "I'm not worrying about her," Hermione said to her knees. "I'm just thinking. Remember what she said to me in The Three Broomsticks? I know things about Ludo Bagman that would make your hair curl." This is what she meant, isn't it? She reported his trial. She knew he had passed information to the Death Eaters. And Winky, too, remember? Mr. Bagman is a bad wizard. Mr. Crouch would have been furious he got off. He would have talked about it at home.
"Yeah, but Bagman didn't pass information on purpose, did he?"
Hermione shrugged.
"And Fudge reckons Madame Maxime attacked Crouch," Ron said, turning back to Harry.
"Yeah," said Harry, "but he's only saying that because Crouch disappeared near the Beaubaton carriage."
"We never thought of her, did we?" said Ron slowly.
"Mind you, she's definitely got giant blood, and she doesn't want to admit it."
"Of course she doesn't," said Hermione sharply, looking up. "Look what happened to Hagrid when Rita found out about his mother. Look at Fudge, jumping to conclusions about her just because she's part giant. Who needs that sort of prejudice? I'd probably say I had big bones if I knew that's what I'd get for telling the truth."
Hermione looked at her watch.
"We haven't done any practicing," she said, looking shocked. "We were going to do the impediment, Jinx. We'll really have to get down to it tomorrow. Come on, Harry, you need to get some sleep."
Harry and Ron went slowly upstairs to their dormitory. As Harry pulled on his pyjamas, he looked over at Neville's bed. True to his word to Dumbledore, he had not told Ron and Hermione about Neville's parents. As Harry took off his glasses and climbed into his four-poster, he imagined how it must feel to have parents still living, but unable to recognize you. He often got sympathy from strangers for being an orphan, but as he listened to Neville's snores, he thought that Neville deserved it more than he did. Lying in the darkness, Harry felt a rush of anger and hate towards the people who had tortured Mr. and Mrs. Longbottom. He remembered the jeers of the crowd as Crouch's son and his companions had been dragged from the court by the Dementors. He understood how they had felt. Then he remembered the milk-white face of the screaming boy, and realized with a jolt that he had died a year later. It was Voldemort, Harry thought, staring up at the canopy of his bed in the darkness. It all came back to Voldemort. He was the one who had torn these families apart, who had ruined all these lives. Ron and Hermione were supposed to be revising for their exams, which would finish on the day of the third task, but they were putting most of their efforts into helping Harry prepare.
"Don't worry about it," Hermione said shortly, when Harry pointed this out to them, and said he didn't mind practicing on his own for a while. "At least we'll get top marks in Defence Against the Dark Arts. We'd never have found out about all these hexes in class."
"Good training for when we're all auras," said Ron excitedly, attempting the impediment jinx on a wasp that had buzzed into the room and making it stop dead in mid-air. The mood in the castle as they entered June became excited and tense again. Everyone was looking forward to the third task, which would take place a week before the end of term. Harry was practicing hexes in every available moment. He felt more confident about this task than either of the others.
Difficult and dangerous though it would undoubtedly be, Moody was right. Harry had managed to find his way past monstrous creatures and enchanted barriers before now, and this time he had some notice, some chance to prepare himself for what lay ahead. Tired of walking in on them all over the school, Professor McGonagall had given Harry permission to use the empty Transfiguration classroom at lunchtimes. He had soon mastered the impediment jinx, a spell to slow down and obstruct attackers, the reductor curse, which would enable him to blast solid objects out of his way, and the four-point spell, a useful discovery of Hermione's, which would make his wand point due north, therefore enabling him to check whether he was going in the right direction within the maze. He was still having trouble with the shield charm, though. This was supposed to cast a temporary, invisible wall around himself that deflected minor curses. Hermione managed to shatter it with a well-placed jelly-legs jinx. Harry wobbled around the room for 10 minutes afterwards before she had looked up the counter-jinx. "You're still doing really well, though," Hermione said encouragingly, looking down her list and crossing off those spells they had already learnt. "Some of these are bound to come in handy." "Come and look at this," said Ron, who was standing by the window. He was staring down into the grounds. "What's Malfoy doing?" Harry and Hermione went to see. Malfoy, Crabbe and Goyle were standing in the shadow of a tree below. Crabbe and Goyle seemed to be keeping a lookout. Both were smirking. Malfoy was holding his hand up to his mouth and speaking into it. "He looks like he's using a walkie-talkie," said Harry curiously. "He can't be," said Hermione. "I've told you those sort of things don't work around Hogwarts. Come on, Harry," she added briskly, turning away from the window and moving back into the middle of the room. "Let's try that shield charm again."